an automatic writer.
That's what I thought I heard.
Yeah, but however, that's not the way the music comes, and that's not a very rare, it's so rare, it's so not considerable.
Well, what's intriguing to me is that she can sit down and, in a month's time, produce music, you know, in the style of old masters, which she claims she's getting it in this fashion.
Correct.
And for one of us, we would have to go to the Juilliard School of Music and just to master the style of Mozart or Beethoven.
Might take 10 years, maybe.
You know, it's a lifetime's work right there, and she's doing all of them.
Richard Rodney Bennett told me, you know, as the very eminent British composer, he said, with a lifetime of study of the music of Beethoven, I couldn't affect some of the Beethoven she has produced. And it's absolutely top quality.
Because, you know, as you know, Stuart, anybody can, who is a musician,
can certainly improvise
in the style of a master. Mm-hmm. But what she does is not only improvise in the style of the master, but it's also a continuing evolution of the master.
Right, and she writes out whole symphonies and concertos.
Yeah, she's writing Rachmaninoff all at once. Those hands are 14 miles apart. You know, he had big hands.
And Brahms had big hands, and Richard, it was the same Richard Rodney Bennett who said that, he said to me, as you know, a composer tends to write music for the size hand he has, and then he mentioned Rachmaninoff and Brahms, and it's that, even that little detail is in the music. I have a difficulty in stretching some of the hand patterns of from some Brahms music that I have from her.
Where can somebody hear some of this new music,
sir? Yes, on the 21st. Let me lead into that. Something has been happening recently. A couple of weeks ago, Clint Ernie, who is the music editor of the Santa Ana Register, mm-hmm. happened to hear me play a couple of pieces, and he said he'd like to hear more, and I invited him to my home. I have a beautiful Steinway here, and he heard a great deal. Well, he was so impressed that he did a two-page story in the Register, and I've been getting unexpected phone calls since, and one was from Disney Cable.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to do a stint on Rosemary Brown.
Great.
And they're bringing their cameraman over. Their problem, however, is this. Maybe somebody here could solve it. The man who's in charge telephoned BBC. He wanted some live footage from BBC, which they have, because of a certain story. And yes, they will provide it, but it was $750 for 1 minute. Now, then Rosemary has been, some shots of Rosemary have been on some of the TVs here, like Johnny Carson and 60 Minutes, but apparently they too want quite a bit.
Hmm.
So there has to be found another, if someone knows another station that has some of this footage, let it go.
Well, maybe
we should have someone in England do something new. I don't know.
We'll just check out our home office there in London. We have an office. The American Broadcasting Company probably can get into that.
As to where you can hear the music, on the 21st, I'll be giving a lecture recital, mainly music, however. I tell how the music comes to her. And it will be at the Church of the Revelations in Midway City, which is a little beyond Westminster from where I am.
I never heard of it.
Yeah, it's the 21st at 7:30 p.m. No tickets, just a donation.
Just come in.
They're bringing in a beautiful grand piano for the occasion,
mm-hmm.
and I think it will be an interesting evening. So, if you're, you know, anyone who likes to would like to hear this music,
what's that address again?
Well, the exact address I don't have, except that it is in Midway City. It's in called Church of the Revelations.
It's a
metaphysical church, and they also have healing services.
You say it's near Westminster?
It's a little beyond. I'm in Anaheim, and I'd say if I passed west, headed towards it, I would pass Westminster.
Oh.
Well, we got to look that one up.
Yeah, I have to look.
Midway City, I never heard of. I kind of knew all the areas.
It's right after Westminster. It's called Midway City.
All right.
Okay.
Yeah. Stuart, thank you very much for getting in on that.
And thank you, Bill. And I'll have more news for you in a few months, I guess.
We'll be doing another show with Stuart here on Rosemary Brown right after the first of the year.
Okay. Will that be the one that's coast to coast?
Well, we hope so.
We hope so. And we do too. Thank you.
Thank you, Stuart. Stuart Rock.
Thank you very much.
Rosemary just fascinates me, and I asked Stuart to call and tell a thing because interest in her music, and she's getting it in the most unusual way, is growing.
By leaps and bounds.
By leaps and bounds, but among the people who are really into music, you know, they know music.
Isn't it correct that she was first reported many years ago? It seemed to me I read about her 5 or 10.
Seven or eight years ago, she started doing this. I mean, here was a little old, little housewife in England that all at once started writing this magnificent music, and she never even didn't know what music was. And by the way, when she writes it, she doesn't write, you know, notes in a, like a musician would.
No.
She's saying, in bar one, you put a B flat, and that's what she's told. She says.
Oh.
And then a musicologist has to put that into music.
Into staffs.
And it ends
notes.
Up being...
I'll be darned.
Very heavy stuff. Okay, now we'll get back to Dr. Lawrence Boren. I am Bill Jenkins. It's open mind. We may stretch it a little bit here tonight, but you have an open forum to Larry and I. Just a moment. And Chip Hunter is on the line. Hi, Chip.
Hi, Bill. How are you this evening?
What are you talking about tonight?
Well, tonight I'd like to share something with your audience that I know you're already aware of. And that is a new audiovisual film, which was created strictly for the purpose of pain reduction, healing, and stress reduction. And so far, we've had marvelous, marvelous results with it, so we're tremendously excited.
You know, Chip, I have seen the film, and I've listened to the film, and it is full of subliminals.
Right.
And it is magnificent.
Aha. Uh-huh.
It really does. You can just sit down and you have these beautiful nature scenes coming back and forth at you.
Mm.
And you have birds. In fact, Chip was nice enough to give me a soundtrack off of it. And I play it on my stereo at home, right?
Right.
I have birds chirping day and night.
Yeah. Beautiful. Like to hear it.
And the subliminals are coming up, which you're not aware of, that are telling you to relax, be healthy, be all of that sort of stuff.
That's
Where
great.
Can somebody see this film?
Well, as a matter of fact, tomorrow I will be up at the Insight Foundation at Sportsman's Lodge between 11 and 3, and will be shown there. And then if that's not convenient for people, I will be at the Mandala Society in August in San Diego. I will also be at the Life Extension Expo in Long Beach, the first weekend in August.
Mm-hmm.
And if none of these times are convenient, if people do want to see it, a private showing can be arranged for them.
Just call you down at Chip and Bucks, right?
No, let me give you the number for New Vision Productions, which is the name of the company.
Okay.
It's 714 area code 669-9393. And if there's no answer there, then try 714-838-6008.
Mm-hmm. Or call me here at the station if you miss the numbers, and I'll get them to you. Or Lita at broadcast information.
That would be easier.
But the film is spectacular.
Bill, did I also tell you that this is just one of a series of 12, and they will all have a tie-in with nature?
Sure.
And I didn't know if I'd share that with you or not, but the reaction we've had from people who have viewed it has been just unbelievable.
Beautiful.
Well, I viewed it. I
see that.
And have experienced it, and it is one of the most quieting things that I have ever seen in my life.
Tranquilizing without tranquilizers, right?
And it's interesting how people have been using it. For example, there is a dentist who uses it in all of his clinics in the waiting room to quiet people down before they even go inside.
Oh, beautiful.
So it has many uses.
It does work.
It does work.
I'm okay, sure. Chip.
Thank you so much for letting me share.
Well, listen, I experienced it, and I asked you to call, and I wanted to share that with this audience we have, and I appreciate it very much.
Thank you so much. Good night.
All right, thank you.
Good night. Thank you.
Chip Hunter, Chip and Books down at in Tustin. What a great place that is. I think we have Virginia on the line.
Yes, you do.
Okay, Virginia, what's up?
I'd like to address my question to Dr. Boren.
Sure.
I have in front of me two books that are related to parapsychology, I believe. One of them is The Logic of Illogic.
I didn't hear it.
The Logic of Illogic.
Logic of Illogic.
That's right. And
sounds like a good book to me.
Well, get out your notes, you know.
That's right brain thinking, it sounds like.
Right Brain Approaches to Communication and Growth by Eric H. Marcus, the psychiatrist. I have his address, but I don't have his phone number. Would it be necessary, the address?
No, that's all right. Go ahead and tell us.
And the other one is, the other book is Right Brain People in a Left Brain World.
Oh, great.
And that's by, as expressed to Evelyn Bishop, through Art as Therapy.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I feel that these two books are related to parapsychology indirectly. Because the two authors that show us here, they are talking about the conflict between the left brain and the right brain. The right brain is supposed to be the seat of the art, intuition, and perhaps the occult arts.
As well as mysticism, metaphysics, philosophy,
emotion
in general.
But the modern empirical science relies very heavily on the left brain.
99%.
99%. So, of course, this would mean that not only here in America, and the Western world, but perhaps all over the world, because I read a very interesting article about in Arab countries where the left hand is considered, it's the evil hand. And the left hand, as we know, is dominated by the right brain. And even Arab countries, they it's fantastic what how they view the left brain, rather the right brain and the left hand.
Yeah, right. The left side of the body, in other words.
No, the right hand and the left side of the body, exactly, is dominated by the right brain.
Right.
But there's a way they talk about the left hand. What they say, the left hand only does the dirty work.
Yeah.
And when an Arab is eating dinner, he makes sure that he has his left hand down under the table because it's a bad marriage to show the left hand.
Is that true?
Yes, it's true.
That would only be true, my dear, for right-handed Arabs, left-handed Arabs.
Yes, of course, that's what I meant.
But which are the normal, so-called normal ones?
Yes.
Some Arabs don't eat, I guess, except in private.
They do other things with their left hand, too, and I don't want to discuss what they do.
Okay.
Well, they didn't have some kind of paper.
A family show.
So that's all I'm saying. But anyway, this proves that this prejudice in favor of the left brain is not only in the Western world. It seems to be a world-known phenomenon.
Pretty much so, although the Orient, when we go to, let's say, China, India, and Japan, I believe you'll find the yin-yang theory does tend to elevate the yin approach a lot more than the Western world does.
Yes, they give
which comes from the right brain or governs the right brain.
Yeah, but don't you think that this big conflict of establishment science against parapsychology is based on this type of prejudice, the left brain looking?
I think you have hit it right, the nail on the head. Exactly right, because, that's my experience at least. It's very obvious that all the scientists in the Western world or all over the world are schooled in left-brain thinking, which is called linear thinking. Linear thinking. It's sequential thinking.
It's one step at a time.
Uh-huh. You look at one thing at a time only through a strong magnifying glass or microscope, and you don't see anything else in relation to it except that one thing.
Exactly.
And the right brain tends to see things in patterns, in terms of laws and principles, and is looking for universal meaning behind things.
And if you say anything about universal meaning to a left-brain scientist, he practically shoots you on the spot.
Oh, exactly. They're against it. They don't want to believe there's any universal laws or principles.
Well, I think we have a law that works very much. For instance, you run across something you don't understand or know, you either kill it or you poo-poo it.
Yes, you ridicule it, and that kills it sometimes by itself, or else you try to destroy it some other way.
But we're here on the air to do otherwise.
Yep. Right.
Thank you very much for your discussion of it.
All right.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
I appreciate you calling, Virginia, and sharing those things with us. I'll be back in just a moment. Dr. Lawrence Boren is with us. I want you to know I'm a fan of Michael Reagan.
Mm.
I don't care if his dad's a president. He is something else by himself. He's bright. He's witty. He's very, very, very smart.
Great.
And I really want you to listen to Michael when he's here Tuesday. Yeah, or is it Tuesday? Monday.
Hmm.
What did I just say on the promo? But catch Michael.
Okay.
He's a super, super guy. All right, you ready? Larry, you have some things happening.
Yes.
Cover those, and then we'll get
all right, if we may. Okay. Recently, in recent months, the question revolved in my mind, am I really crazy or am I not crazy in thinking that these findings about the upside-down world of science, et cetera, could be the basis for a blockbuster movie, possibly, and even a TV series, and even a book release? Okay, over the past 3 or 4 months, I've finally put together what I consider, and a few other people that have looked into it, consider a very highly entertaining script for either a one-hour TV special or a theatrical film, which even some of these people believe could possibly outgross E.T., if we may be so bold to say that.
Well, now I've got to tell you, Larry.
Yes,
Dad.
Yes.
I love big ideas, but that's heavy.
That's heavy. I know, but at least let's give it a chance. It just has that potential, I'm saying. Now, at the same time, it delivers, believe it or not, a startling and devastating message to the entire world. And in addition, it shows us even a solution to our worldwide dilemma.
Are you producing a film now?
I'm just getting to that point. I've just finished a pilot videotape of the first 20 minutes of this screenplay, and it's loaded with comedy, mystery, surprise, drama, and tremendous special effects.
Where are we going to see it?
Approximately 1 week from today or tomorrow, I should have the first copy of it available to show wherever some people would like to get together and see it. It'll be a half-inch copy. We need a half-inch machine recorder to play it on, video cassette recorder. And I'm available to show it. If anyone wants to call me at 483-7351 in the next week or two, I'd like anyone interested to call. And that would be best time would be before noon any day. Right. Now, I'm not quite through. Let me say it this way. The solution it proposes is that mainly we should poke a bit of fun at ourselves to view our upside-downness with amusement and humor long before we try to correct the upside-down world, which is a gigantic, super-colossal job. Right? So what we believe is the best way, or best approach here is to, make a little bit of humor out of the whole situation, which we've done in this film story. You see, we presented it.
It is funny. You get out on the freeway and just look at the folks, and, it's funny.
Well, the whole thing is funny. I mean, let's think of it this way, among other things. Okay, the North didn't win the Civil War. The South actually won the Civil War. Okay, we're living not in the Northern Hemisphere, but in the Southern Hemisphere. This is not Southern California. It's really Northern California. There is no West Virginia. It's really East Virginia, and the Dakotas are upside down. We fought South Vietnam and South Korea, and all these things are backwards and upside down. It gets to be a little bit humorous.
You fracture me. That's really funny.
Well, yeah, it does have its humorous side, and so let's play up the humorous side. Not only that,
wait a minute. I'm not saying you fracture me. And
no,
I know where you're coming from.
Right.
Your science is saying that is actually so.
Yes,
and you're putting it in that kind of thing to get our attention.
Right. It's based on two basic laws of magnetism, which prove that the poles are upside down and the four directions of the compass are backwards, according to even several scientists who admit this.
The positron is magnetic.
And the positron is magnetic.
Which causes all of that.
Yeah, it's behind
it really
it all.
By the way, I've submitted your papers, to some pretty good minds.
I would love to hear
them. And they come back to me and say, Larry is probably right.
No kidding. Well, that's very gratifying.
Well, Tom Bearden will be here October 23rd.
Really? Be sure.
And he will be, finally he's off of whatever he's doing.
Oh, great.
And Tom will be with us, and we will be talking about that particular thing.
What date was that?
I think it's the 23rd, 25th. Oh. Give me a couple of days there. I don't have a calendar in front of me.
Okay.
It's going to be in latter October.
October.
But Tom Bearden and Bill Tiller will be on.
Great.
We will blow your mind that night.
Oh, wonderful. Now,
we will talk about would you give you the number again, how somebody can reach you?
Yes, absolutely. 483-7351, or leave a message at 389-0917. But the best time to reach me at the 483 number is before noon, almost any day of the week. And may I just mention, we're in this project, we have not only a tremendous theatrical film potential, which can make tremendous sums of money, but we have connected with it tie-in products, as in which everyone knows, commercial products such as upside-down T-shirts planned, and an upside-down drink, upside-down foods. And
the whole thing is upside-down.
In other words, we can celebrate it. I believe in recommending one day a month should be at least set aside for celebrating the upside-downness of our world, our crazy mixed-up world. Let's enjoy it and make fun of it and have a little fun with it.
It seems to be that way, doesn't it? We're going to go to our callers right after we get through with this little piece of business and see what's on your mind. Ian, we are talking to John right now. John?
Oh, yeah. I was wondering this mysterious force was he was talking about, that the solar system was rotating around. I believe it was in a second recap.
Oh, yeah. May I answer that then?
Yes, I'd appreciate it. You didn't go on with it. It sounds interesting. Yeah.
Okay.
We had so many things to do here tonight.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, this came out of an article in Science News, believe it or not, which is highly reputable, let's remember. 8782, that would be, I believe, August 7th, 82, last year, page 84. This was discovered in England, I believe, by one of the astronomers with one of the big radio telescopes, that the entire universe is rotating, and it doesn't fit into their Big Bang explosion theory very well at all, unless it is radically altered to include what I would call a divine fiat, commanding the universe to rotate as it expands outward, because they don't believe it should rotate. I mean, they can't explain any way that it should be rotating. It should just be going straight forward outward in a radial sense, straight out.
Yeah, well, excuse me, then that means that eventually it would come back to the same spot again if it was rotating around.
Try a cycle.
A cycle. It would come around to the same
cycle.
Spot in space. Every cycle.
I think one of the most interesting cycles is Arcturus, which is in the constellation Bootes.
Uh-huh.
It moves back and then comes back in and goes out again. We have watched that cycle now for about 1,500 years. That where you can go back to the ancient astronomers, and they see that Arcturus goes and comes and goes and comes.
Right. The main and
it ain't going away.
No.
All the time. Big bang isn't happening.
The most interesting thing, I think, though, that's really powerful and significant, is that it's rotating around some mysterious center. Now, what is that mysterious center? They have not addressed themselves to that question as yet, and I say that is where, shall we say, cosmic intelligence comes in. Or
that's what I was going to say, yeah.
You see, there, anything that is at a center of something is the controlling factor.
Yeah.
And is the, you know, represents something like a nucleus or whatever, where the controlling intelligence is operating, the controlling power or force, whatever you want to call it, that is where the God power is manifesting.
So if you discovered what it is, you're discovering what God is. Or
you're discovering the main control center that God operates through, at least.
Right. Well,
it's easy for us to understand how we all rotate around the sun. That's our little center in the solar system.
Right.
And I think it's easy for a lot of people to understand that the entire Milky Way galaxy rotates around a center.
A center of something.
Now you have to expand that the entire creation is moving around a center.
Which is billions of light years. That's incredible.
Well, it's beyond our, you know.
It's all the metagalaxies.
$1.65, you know.
Right.
And my mental mind is gone.
Yeah.
It's all the metagalaxies, my friend, which are each one metagalaxies compounded of millions or billions, possibly, of galaxies. And they make up a supercluster called a metagalaxy. And as far as we know, that may be the last category before it goes around the entire cosmic center.
Does that help you, John?
Yeah, that's very interesting. Thank you very much.
All right, John. Appreciate your call. All right. We have Steve on the line. Steve? Well.
Good evening.
Hello, Steve. I didn't push the button real good.
Oh,
but you're
I see. What's on Steve's mic?
Hello?
Yeah, Steve, you're on.
Right, hi. Hi, Bill. I know you passionately believe in all the theories you espouse, and many of which I agree with. However. What bothers us, as those of us who brought up the question, I suppose we skeptics, is the sweeping statements that are made. Rosemary Brown's a good case in point. I lived in England for many years. And
Steve?
Yes, you run out of time.
You hear it?
Yeah.
Will you get back with me next week?
Him next week, Steve.
Because
we like skeptics on here, too.
I love skeptics.
Absolutely.
Because I always learn from skeptics. I really do. But we have run out of time, and so little time.
Right.
Steve, thank you for getting
in. And don't forget.
Join me tomorrow.
Right.
Larry, thank you for coming. And we got to go.
And everybody call in if we can on the project I mentioned.
Okay. It's Open Mind. I am Bill Jacobs.